Amen. So we had a vision to increase the seating, and we already had the building built. All we had to do is fix it. And so we came over to the South Sanctuary about 3 years ago, and we were able to almost double our seating, which was a huge blessing, and now have a beautiful new sanctuary that we will be back into soon. Hallelujah. Well, what are you going to do with this? Oh, this is the patio. Everyone say the patio. You know what? Bob, they're going to get done. Senator, they're going to be done, and they're going to come out of church, and we're going to eat, you know what, carne asada right here. Amen. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. And but we had originally a little kind of foyer, outdoor-ish little thing. And we believe that God was speaking to us and saying, no, I don't want you to build that little thing. I want you to build something grand that is representation of what I'm doing in your hearts. And so we did that. And our then mayor, but hallelujah, thanks to a lot of support and a lot of your support, you know what? We have a wonderful California senator now. Amen. Hey, how many know California needs some godliness? Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Give a warm hope welcome to California Senator Bob Archuleta.
The Lord is in the house. Pastor Drew was sitting there, and I came in just like this. He was sitting there, and I said, he didn't know I was coming. I didn't announce I was coming. I hugged him. I said, the good Lord brought me here today. The good Lord brought me here today. Everyone, I'm Senator Bob Archuleta. I am your senator, but I used to be your mayor. Remember that? And every time I would sit down to do my work as mayor, somebody would come up behind me and do exactly what I did. And he goes, Mayor Archuleta, I need your help. Oh, my God. Pastor Drew, what is it now? They're giving us a hard time with our tower. They won't let us build the tower and put the cross, the good Lord. They won't let us promote our church in that tower. Oh, my God, there I go, fighting City Hall along with him. And you know, if I fight, I fight. So we finally got the tower complete. It's there. And now everyone drives by and they see Hope Community Church. They know this is God's home. This is where the blessings are, where miracles are made every single day, because God has brought us together. And as mayor, I said, I'm going to see how you grow. God has given me the gift to be here with you and speak on behalf of so many people. And here it is. There's your beautiful tower. So then the next thing he calls me, he goes, they're giving me trouble about inside. I got to put rafters and this, that, and the other. And there I go. Get to the planning commission. Sit down with everybody. Let them know that we are a community of people who worship the good Lord, and we need to come together. I need to open the door so people could come and worship. So the construction was begun, and we finished it. And God, Lord, somebody signed off on it. So then, here it is. Now I'm a senator. And wait a minute, I get a phone call. He said, the Southern California Gas Company wants to charge me $26,000 to hook up the gas lines. Oh, my God, where are we going to get $26,000? You have $26,000? Can I have $26,000? Can I have $26,000 to hook up the gas line? Because we got to have the gas line. So he calls me in Sacramento. How you doing, Pastor? Good to see you. God bless you. So there I am, picking up the phone, calling, and work my way all the way to the top. Miss, who is in charge of the Southern California Gas Company? Are you? So finally I found the individual and said, Senator, how can we help you? And I said, let me tell you about this glorious, beautiful city of Pico Rivera, where people come together to worship, where they love God and country, where we have more veterans in our city than any other city. We are a blessed city. And your people, the gas company, are charging $26 for a hookup. And they said, how can that be? So they went through the channels, they figured it out, and then we made some adjustments, and I think we got it done for, how much, $13,000? $3,000. Oh, my God. Hallelujah on that one. I didn't even know. So thank you, Southern California Gas Company, for being sensitive to the people, because things are logical, right? And then the next thing he calls and he says, I've got a dream that we could worship outdoors in the rain. We can worship outdoors in the sun. We can have family. We can use this beautiful patio. And we can do this. So there we go again, fighting City Hall. So this time, really, I've got friends in City Hall because I'm the senator. So I said, okay, we've got to help Hope Community Church. So they came out, and they wouldn't sign off. Remember that? And they wouldn't sign off, and they wouldn't sign off. And so finally I said, bring them out. We brought them out 5 or 6 times. I said, what can I tell you about the flooring? What is it do you want to change? What do you want to change about the lighting? My God, this is an open area. It's not, there's no walls here. This church does not have walls. It's open to everyone. And I said, it's going to be beautiful. We can do this. But we've always had people against us, right, Pastor? We have always had people against us. But when we join together as a community, as a church, as an organization that believes in God and country, we can make anything happen. Anything. So I want to tell you, so sure enough, Tamara, thank you so much, because it finally came true. They finally signed off on it because logically they couldn't understand. It had to do with footing. And I don't know. I don't know anything about construction, but we finally got it done, and hallelujah. Look at this beautiful outdoor chapel church setting for everyone, for the kids. I am just a servant of the people, and I say my prayers every night before I go to bed and every morning when I got up as I was driving here. I said, Lord, thank you for the blessings. You've put me in this position for a reason, Lord. Somebody said to me the other day, said, Senator Bob Archuleta, you're a true Christian because you believe in God. You believe in those things that make us different. Set us aside. Peace, love, joy, happiness, sharing, giving, remembering those who served. Remember those who were part of our family. Remember everyone, our pastors, who sacrificed so much. Every single day. You don't think these pastors could have built a church in Santa Monica, San Marino, and Beverly Hills? They could have built this church anywhere. But they chose this area, this city, so they can worship with you here. Pastors, thank you. And I will tell you this, that Hope Community Church is always in my heart, but I can't tell you how much it means to me to hear that you've raised $25,000. Your goal is $100,000. Your goal is to reach the $100,000 so we can pay for this beautiful setting that we're in. And it could happen. This is only May. So if we did this by May, imagine what we can do by June, July, August. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. So the point that I'm making is it does take money. There's no doubt about it. You see these beautiful TVs that you see here, the television sets, the cameras, the flooring, all of this. It takes money. And I know that when we feed people here, it takes money. Everything you do, it takes money. So one of you in this room is going to say, Lord, when you're ready to take me, don't leave me. Don't leave me, because I want to leave something behind. And I want to give something to Hope Community Church. Maybe I'm going to leave that car. Instead of giving it to my grandson, maybe I'll give it to the church so they could sell it, put something in the pot. Maybe I got that extra piece of property up in the mountains that I don't want. Maybe they'll give it to the church so they can put it into the pot. So the $100,000 is not just going to come from the nickels and dimes. It's going to come from the hundreds of thousands that's going to come from wherever. You think about that. Somebody asked me the other day, he says, I'm 94 years old, a veteran, 94 years old. What am I going to do with my property? I said, I outlived everybody. I said, go to your community church. Sit there and pray with the pastor. They will guide you. And maybe you should give that to the church because the good Lord will bless you forever. He's waiting for you, no doubt. So why not? So I'm asking you to reach down deep inside, help the church, but think about the future because it will stay here forever. Think about that. In your name. In your name. So pastors, maybe you should start a little plaque thing of donations where people give, you know, over $5,000. Anybody who does that has their name on the plaque because the blessings are here. But before I go and give the microphone back to the pastor, I want to tell you, I am so honored, so blessed to have raised 5 children. The good Lord has given me 5 children, 10 grandchildren. And I know that he brought me home. I'm a combat veteran. I'm a former paratrooper. And we're approaching Memorial Day. So on Memorial Day, they have me speaking everywhere because I am the chairman in the state of California. I'm the chairman of the Senate Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs. And I was blessed to do that. The governor of the state of California has a council made up of top-notch individuals, and he appointed me to be on that council to oversee the 31 military bases in California. So I'm part of that. So I've been blessed. But no blessing is greater than to represent you, that God has given me this opportunity. So I want to share with you that when I'm in Sacramento, you are part of my 1 million people that I represent in the 17 cities and communities. But I will tell you, my heart is here. And if you go into my office in Norwalk, you'll see the American flag, the California flag, and you'll see the flag of Pico Rivera. So with that, I want to give the pastor one of my new cards. And this one says, Senator Bob Archuleta, Chair of Military and Veterans Affairs Committee. So with that, I thank you all for the blessings. I thank you for the prayers. And more importantly, I thank you for the contributions you give to Hope Community Church. God bless you all. Thank you.
I just want to say this is so important because I think, listen to me, we get intimidated by people sometimes who are going to tell us, just stay in your little spot. You guys are, you know what, you know, you believe in Jesus Christ and you guys are religious and stay in your little spot. We'll run the country. We'll run the state. Well, how's that working for us so far? The Bible says when the ungodly rule, the people suffer. So I'm saying this very upfrontly. You've got to pay attention. There's things that we believe in, and there's things that are godly that we want to continue to go on to our kids. Our public schools are a mess. And part of the reasons they're a mess is because the ungodliness and the ungodly, they don't know about the Bible, and we have to elect people who care about God. And so it's like, oh, we complain, but come election time, how do you think Bob gets elected as a senator? People like you elect him, and now he's our representative, and not just our representative, but here's the truth, and Bob will attend to this. I've called him and said, hey, Bob, there's this bill going around, and it's not going to be helpful to the people because it's ungodly. It's based on unbiblical principles. So we're going to pray for Bob, and we're going to pray for Bob. And because I tell you what, he is swimming upstream. Okay. But listen, but the Bible says when Satan comes in, God will raise up a standard against him. And so let's pray for Bob. And you stretch out your hands. And wait, put your hands down. And don't just pray for him today. We'll pray for him today together. But pray for him tomorrow and the next day and have him part of your prayers. And let's pray that God raise other people up like Bob, that he can have look around and have some help to fight this ungodliness, the good fight of faith. All right. Stretch out your hands. Father, we just thank you for Bob. We thank you for he is anointed for this work. And we thank you that he does it with joy and he sees it as his calling. And I don't doubt it at all that he is called to help this church and a lot of other people. Father, help him to be strong and courageous. Bless his family. Bless all his kids and all his grandkids. Father, we thank you for his marriage and all the things. We pray that he would just have the joy of the Lord would be his strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let me say one more thing about Bob. There's been time after time after time. You know, it's interesting to me because I believe this. I believe some politicians talk about serving, 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 serving. But the truth is, they're there to serve themselves. I hate to say that. How many would shake your head and say, absolute? But I don't know what time it was, this time or that time or this time. There'll be many others. But at some point in time, well, we're planning on doing big things, and we need some help. I know you are. I told Tamara, with tears just running down my cheeks at one point, I said, that man is not just a bunch of talk, but he backs up his talk. And there is really, really, amen, 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 amen. And there is, Bob, we really do love you. And there is sincerity. But here's one of the reasons, because it's not just a bunch of talk. There's sincerity. He has been here for us in a practical way. And we're blessed with your presence. Amen. Well, hallelujah. All right. All right. You have your Bibles? Come on. Let me see them. Let's go.
Hey, Bob, also, you know what? I don't know if you know this, but when we have a guest come up, they have to do a cannonball into the pool. No, I'm kidding. Anyways, guys, let's get our Bibles out. We say it like we mean it. Amen. Whose Bible? This is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm ready to receive the infallible Word of God. And having, I will do the Word of God.
Amen. So we are continuing our series on who is Jesus. Somebody say, who is Jesus? Okay, who could raise your hand and tell me what we learned last week? Last week, Jesus was what to us? Come on. Our Savior. Say our Savior. Jesus is our Savior. Today I want to talk, and I said this. This is probably, Bob, you came, Senator, you came the right day. Notice he said he was led by the Holy Spirit. How many know it's Pentecostal Sunday? So, you know what? They were led by the Spirit to stay there, and Bob was led here today, so we thank God for it. But and you were led. I believe this. I believe that this is going to be probably one of my best sermons I've ever preached. Guys in the back, again, you need to turn me down. This is probably going to be one of the best sermons I've ever preached. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready. So, and let me tell you why. This is one of the best sermons I've ever preached. Let me tell you why. Because I am going to talk about the King that is coming. Listen, you need to evaluate today where you are spiritually. Because when the King comes, he's coming to reunite with his bride. But he's not going to reunite with the one who is not his bride. We are living in a dispensation of grace. A dispensation is just a fancy word of a time of grace. And so we're living in a time of grace where God is. You know why Christ hasn't come yet? Do you know why? The Bible tells us why. It says, because his will is that none perish. He is waiting for other people to come to Christ. Maybe for many of you, you're not even born again. You're not even a Christian. You don't even know Christ. Or maybe for some of you, you used to know Christ, but you've gotten so far away from Christ. This is the day. And today is the day. Because the reality is, we don't know when Christ is going to come. But I have a word for you from the Lord today. I don't know the day, and I don't know the hour, but I do know the season, and we are in the season of the coming of Jesus Christ. Let me read a couple of scriptures to you quickly. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. They shall not escape. Then the Bible says clearly in Romans chapter 1, I'm reading verses 21, 20 and 21, they're up here on the screen, or they will be shortly. Romans chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Or since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. What is God talking about? You are the things that were made. And the Bible is saying you can clearly see God through. I mean, look at this day. Look at these. Look at where we're at. Are you kidding me? Can you look at all this and not recognize that this is not coincidence? No, God created these trees. God created that grass. God created that beautiful blue sky. That was God. And the Bible says that you can clearly see it. And being understood by the things that were made, even the eternal power and the Godhead, even God you can understand, so that you are without an excuse. When Jesus Christ comes back, and he's coming back, and one of the things he's coming back is to separate the wheat, the wheat from the chaff, the goats from the sheep. That's one of the things he's coming back for. So I'm saying to you that the Bible says that no one can look at God and say, God, it's not my fault, it's your fault. Don't we live in a world? We live in a world of victimization. Thank you very much. But, Senator, it's one of the problems in our society. Listen, we all have challenges in our life. But we have to, like your sons have recognized and all your kids have recognized, there's challenges in life. What are yours? I don't know. Here's what I know. You know what? You can become a victim or you can become a victor, but you cannot become both. And so you have to make up your mind. No, I'm going to take, you know what, the cards that were dealt with me, and I'm going to make them, I'm going to do the best I can do with those. I heard a story of a gentleman, and he started with a simple matchbox, and he started trading up. and he found something that was a little bit more valuable than a matchbox, and he found somebody who wanted that matchbox, and he traded with them. And then he traded again, and then he traded again. And each time he found something that was more valuable, and what he had was valuable to that person, and they were willing to give more. You know what? Until finally that matchbox at some point in time became a nice car that he was driving around. See, you take the cards that were dealt with you, and with the word of God, with the power of God, start to recognize that you, because of God, can become a victor in your life. Amen. But Christ is coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back. That's who Jesus is. He was here. He really existed. And he's really coming back. And there's this thought of, well, because we all think this way. How many have heard Jesus Christ is coming back? And no matter how old you are, you know what? I won't ask each of you your age, but no matter how old you are, you know, recognize that every year that you live is to some extent proof to you that Christ isn't coming back. And so we become cynical and we start to think, oh yeah, those Christians, oh, he's coming back, he's coming back, he's coming back, he's coming back. Listen, he is coming back. God cannot lie. If you look at history, there were all kinds of times where for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, Israel wasn't a nation. They had been dispersed, and God promised. It was one of the signs. It's in Matthew chapter 24. It's one of the signs of his coming back again. How many know Israel now is a nation? And we, Senator, and we unapologetically are for Israel. We are pro-Israel. They have been our strongest ally. They are the one state that is democracy in the Middle East. You say, well, what about the Palestinians? What about the Palestinians? Do you know, and I'm sure you do, that most of the Palestinians having a choice want to live in Israel? That's a fact. They don't want to live under a regime that's cruel and mean and ungodly. They want to live in a democracy. The best thing you could do for the Palestinians is to support a country of Israel who's a democracy. Oh, you could say amen a lot louder than that. Amen. Amen. But it's one of the signs. And for years and years and years, they weren't a country. They had been dispersed just like God said they were. And it said they're going to come back. And when they come back, not a generation that generation will see the coming of the Lord. Say, Pastor, but I thought nobody knew the time or the day. No, we don't know the time or the day, but we know the season. Can you turn quickly? Can you tell I'm preaching fast today? Okay, you got to listen fast today, okay? Turn with me to Matthew 24. And I'm going to start reading. Look at your neighbor and say, pay attention. Senator, I usually don't read this much scripture in one sitting, but this passage is a passage that needs, I believe today at least, needs to be read together. And you need to pay attention to all the times, all take note when Jesus says, you know what, that he takes these people and he, well, you'll see it. I'll get to it in a minute. Starting with Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 1. Are you there? Look at your neighbor, say, pay attention. Okay. Look at your neighbor, say, stay with pastor. Okay. Listen, we'll eat carne asada later. Chimichangas later. Okay. Verse 24, or chapter 24, verse 1. I'm going to read a lot. Stay with me. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Surely I say to you, assuredly I say to you, not one stone will be left upon another that there will not be thrown down. Jesus is prophetically saying the temple is going to be destroyed. And everything that God said, if you go to Israel right now, the temple is destroyed. Jesus said it. Everything that God says is going to happen is going to happen. And he's coming back. Now, as he sat at the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be and that he will, and what sign of your coming and the end of the age. Oh, when is that going to happen? Listen to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and I will deceive many, and I will hear the, and I, and you will hear of wars and rumor of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. I just read the other day, you know what? Earthquakes in crazy places like Texas and Utah, and just places never had earthquakes before. And that was just this year. Verse 8. All these things will be the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offered, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And will hate one another. Listen, Bob, we come against the spirit of division. We don't care who's white in this church. We don't care who's black in this church. We don't care who's Hispanic in the church. Let me tell you what, we love white people and we love black people and we love Hispanic people and it don't make any difference. And we love Asian people and we love everything in between. Amen. That spirit of division will not have its place in this country. Amen. Where was I? 11, thank you. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Not us. Look at your neighbor, say, not us. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Oh, God help our state that sees federal laws and just says, we don't care, we're not going to do them. That's lawlessness. And it shouldn't be taking place in our state or our city. You know what? We should, our elected officials should be the first. They are the law of the lid. If they don't obey the law, who else is going to obey the law? Amen. You came at the right day. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of money will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness of all the nations. And the end will come. The gospel is being preached in all the world like it has never been preached before. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down and take anything out of the house. And let him who is in the field not go back and get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in these days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation such as not seen in the beginning of the world, since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall ever be. And unless those days were shortening, nor flesh shall be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Even then, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Look at your neighbor, say, don't be deceived. See, I have told you before. This is Jesus. See, all eyes up here for a second. See, I've told you this before. Jesus Christ is coming. Therefore, verse 26, therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out, or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the beginning comes, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes through the west, so will the coming of Son of Man be. Listen to me. It's going to be like that. And he's going to be here. He's going to be here. And when he gets here, is not the choice, is not the time to decide to get your life straight for Christ. That will not be the time. Now is the time. Today is the time to straighten things out. Today is the day to stop rejecting the things of God. Today is the day that you would look at sin in your life and say, that's not what God intends for me to live. God's got a better way. Let me preach to somebody. God's ways are higher than your ways. Amen. Sin is, listen, when God asks you to be obedient and stop sinning, that's not a bad day. That's a good day. Amen. Amen. His commandments are not burdensome. How many been drunk enough to recognize? Come on, somebody. That God is good. Amen. How many been stoned out of your mind and you wake up and you're like, oh my goodness, who? Well, don't raise your hand. Come on. See, let me tell you what, Satan don't have nothing for us. Don't regret when God is telling you to give up something that's causing harm in your life. Don't be afraid to break up with your boyfriend. Amen. Why? Because you can't marry the prince if you're dating the toad. Amen. Amen. Oh, somebody say, Bob, you came the right day. Woe to you. Oh, no. 27, 28. For whether the carcass is there, the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. I mean, no, that's not the time to repent. And the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and they shall all, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds and heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth to another. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When the branch is already, now we're going to talk about Israel. When the branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, and know that the summer is near. That's when Israel became a nation. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this is Jesus saying, I'm telling you the truth. Assuredly, I say to you that this generation will by no means pass away until these things take place. Yeah, Pastor, nobody knows the day or the hour. Well, Jesus says we should know the season. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows. The day and the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, But my father only. But as the days of Noah were, so will be the days of the Son of Man. Listen to this. It's like Noah. Oh, no, Jesus ain't gonna. No, that ain't gonna happen. That ain't gonna happen. That ain't gonna happen. Watch. For as the days were, as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marry and giving in marriage until the day of Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all. What? So also will the coming of the Son of Man be, and the two will be in the field, and one will be taken, the other left. Two men will be grinding the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour, see, you don't know the hour of the Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known the hour the thief had come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Don't allow your house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. How many are you going to have some food today? Come on, tell the truth. You're in church at least. How many are going to have some food today? You ain't planning. You're planning lunch already in your head. I told you to pay attention to me. You're planning on, you know, okay, let me move on. My point is, we got to be ready for Jesus Christ could come. Where was I? Come on, somebody help me. 45. Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom has his master made ruler over his house to give them food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, finds him doing. Listen, I have on purpose asked you to all serve 2 hours. Oh, Pastor, wait a minute. You're out talking about the coming of the Lord. Yeah, and Jesus is saying when he comes back, you ought to be doing something. Yeah. Amen. Pastor, who's that for? Are you here? Amen? Verse 47, assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. Who? The one who's faithful in doing something to build the kingdom when he comes back. Verse 48, but if this evil servant says to his in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and the hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him into two and... Pastor, I think you're reading out of the wrong text. Jesus is a loving God, Pastor. Yeah, he is a loving God. That's why he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you, that you could be reunited with Jesus Christ. He is a loving God. But he's coming back as a king. And the king is going to make judgments. And the judgment isn't, you can choose whatever you want to choose. But there is a day when the time is done, and your choice will be your choice. That's all it's saying. Where was I? 51. Thank you. What? Oh, 51. Thank you. 51. And will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. Oh, here's what I want you to notice. Okay. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This, what I'm going to keep on reading. Look at your neighbor and say, don't stop paying attention now. This is a whole conversation. He didn't have 24 at McDonald's and then for lunch and then at dinner do 25. This is all in one sitting. Then the verse 20, chapter 25. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Okay, how many enjoying this?
Yes.
Pastor. Senator, we like reading the Bible at this church. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. Oh, pay attention to this. See how he's talking about all the same thing? You know, what's he saying? Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Why? Because he is coming. And you don't want to not be prepared for his coming. He loves us. Jesus loves you. He's about to go to the cross for you. He is withheld. The Bible says nothing from you. Even Jesus Christ wasn't withheld from us. And so he wants you to be prepared. That's why he's telling you this. Chapter 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom, when the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Interesting, this might be compared to 10 virgins. These people are, notice, these people care about Christ. But only half of them are going to really be prepared. Ooh, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today. Now, five of them were wise and five were foolish. They're all going out, but five were wise, five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil and their vessels with their lamps, but while the bridegroom was delayed. Why is Christ delaying? I told you this already. Because he wants everyone to be saved. They all slumbered and slept. Look at your neighbor and say, now is not the time to give up or sleep or slumber or be lazy. And at night and at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom was coming, and go out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for your lamp is going, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there be should not be enough for us. Oh, those selfish virgins. This isn't teaching us to be selfish. This is teaching us that I can't get saved for you. I can't be holy for you. I can't be righteous for you. I can't love God for you. You have to love God for you. And while they went to buy the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Oh. It's not our fault, God. But he answered, listen to this. How many know this is Jesus talking to us? Oh, I just think God is a God of love. He is. That's why he sent his son. That's why he's telling us now, get ready now. And he said to them, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. What's he saying? You know, imagine, it's interesting. We give more grace to an NBA coach than we do Jesus or NBA referee. Can you imagine? Did the Lakers play the Warriors recently? Who won that game? Lakers, okay. And can you imagine the Warriors going to the officials and saying, hey, you know, give us 4 more minutes. No. You had enough time to whip up on LeBron if you were going to whip up on him. Right? Right? No. Time's up. Amen. Afterwards, the virgins came saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither. What now he's saying to all of us, watch therefore, for you do not know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling on a far journey. He look at your neighbor and say, he's saying the same thing. who called to his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Immediately he went on a journey, and when he had received 5, traded and made 5 more, and likewise the one who received 2 more, and but watch this. But he who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid it in his Lord, hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts. Look at your neighbor and say, God's going to settle accounts. See, what ability have you been given? What abilities have you been given? You're to use them to the glory of God. You're to use them to build the kingdom of God. God isn't giving you all that talent for you to just be at home watching TV all the time. You know, I'm looking at Fernie back there. What a blessing you are to us. Amen. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know how to build a roof over there. I don't know how to do that. You know what? But somebody else does. Amen. I mean, you're going to come back and you don't even know what we have planned here. Well, you do know some of the stuff we have planned. Yeah. You will hear that. That was good. Good. Good timing, my brother. But see, you know what? That's his ability. What, like I don't have other stuff to do? No, I do. And I need to stay focused on what I'm called to do. For you know what? We're building stuff. You know, put it to the city. Boom. You know what? Fernie called the architect on his own, taking care of stuff on his own. Text me. I'm like, yeah. I was all happy. Yeah, he's on it. I don't have to babysit everything. This is not my church. This is not Tamron my church. This is our church. Yeah. Amen. Where was I? 20, thank you. So he who received 5 talents came and brought 5 talents, saying, Lord, you receive. We'll go down to 21. His Lord says to him, well done, you good and faithful servant. You had been faithful in a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy with the Lord. Verse 22. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have received 2 more talents besides. Then the Lord said to him, well done, you good and faithful servant. Let's jump down to verse 25. We'll just go back up to 24. I'm sorry. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you had not sown, gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid. I went and I hid the talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. He gives him back 1 talent. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I would reap where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed. Verse 27, you ought to have deposited the money in the bank, and when I come in, I would have received you back with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and and he will have abundance, but to him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast, watch this, and cast the, he's talking about the same thing, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. You see it again? Says the same thing. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay. Then he goes on, I need to skim through this. Then he goes on and starts describing someone who is who is not taking care of, he's going to reward people who are taking care of Jesus. And the people say, when did we give to the poor? When did we care about these? And here's what he says. He says, when you did that to the least of these, you did it to me. But then, everybody say, but then. But then he says to those, he's going to say to some, you're sheep. And then he's going to say to others, you are goats. Where does it say that? Isabel, where does it say that? 34. And the king said to those on the right hand, come, you are blessed of the Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. And they say, when did we do that? He's separating the two out. But then he's going to say to those who were given talents, but they didn't use his talents, he's going to put them over there and he's going to say, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. And you didn't do this. And they're going to say, when did we not do that? And he's going to say, hear this, when you did that, he's going to say, you didn't do that to me. And they're going to say, we didn't do that. We never didn't give you food or clothing or take care of you. And he's going to say, when you did this to the least of them, you're going to do that to me. Watch this. And then go to 45. Go to 45. Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. But here's what tripped me out. 46 is what tripped me out. Look at what 46 says. Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. I'm sorry, 46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Yay! Jesus Christ is coming again. The King is coming. Can you say yay to that? Oh. But what is he coming back to do? He's coming back. True story. Vice presidential debate. I won't tell you which one. You could figure it out probably pretty easily. But the one vice president who's running for vice president, he believes in that every human being, here's what we believe, Senator, that constitutional rights should be given and are constitutional rights, not at the point of birth, but get ready to say amen to this, but at the point of conception. And the medical field is proving that. Don't tell me that a baby doesn't have constitutional rights in a mother's stomach when they can do a surgery on a baby in the mother's womb. I got a picture of a baby as the surgeon is doing the surgery on the baby and the baby's hand coming up and grabbing the surgeon's finger like a child does. You know why? Because that is a child. There is a separating out. And we've got to figure out what side we're going to be on. And our side doesn't need to be, well, what if our friends believe? What if our neighbors? What is going to be popular? Well, what if people don't like me? Oh my goodness. We need to recognize Jesus Christ is coming back soon. So just get, vice president. So the one guy said, I am unapologetically for life, pro-life. The other gentleman who was Catholic said, I am pro-life too. And he had a record of being for abortion. And the guy who was doing the interviewing said, well, wait a minute. But your record shows that you're for abortion. Over and over, vote after vote after vote. And he said, well, I'm able to separate my personal life from my political life. And so personally, I'm for the life of that child. But publicly, I am for the rights of women to abort that child. And I sat there watching it, and I said, you know what? My parents had a word for that growing up. It was called hypocrisy. See, I can't choose for that politician, but I can choose for me. When I come home to my wife, I want in my heart to be loyal to her. I want to be able to look her in the eye and say, I'll tell you what, today was another clean day. You are my wife, and I honor you, whether I'm with you or whether I'm not with you. I don't want to be, two-faced. I just want to be for God. And you can be two-faced, and you can put a face on, and you can trick me and fool me and carry your big, big Bible and even have a yellow marker. Right? But none of us are going to fool God. God is going to separate the wheat from the goats. Amen. He is a king and he's coming back. If something that I said, you say, Pastor, but if I raise my hand, they're going to think like I'm not. Don't worry about what they think. Worry about what God is speaking to you. That's the point. Stop thinking about, stop making choices based on what the wind is. No, what is God saying? If God is speaking to you saying repent, then get your hand up right now and repent. Hallelujah. All over the room. Father, you see. Come on, get your hands up. If it's you, if God's speaking to you, do not delay. Father, you see our hands up. We want to be holy. And we ask for your Holy Spirit to help us. He is the helper. But Father, help us to walk away from that sin that so easily besets us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen, amen, amen.